All right, and we're back. Welcome back to the...
Let's go again. Run that back.
Welcome back to the podcast, the Trade Breeders podcast, to be exact. The Comic Book Club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, and you're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics. I almost said your brother.
Your brother. We're Nathan.
Your brother. We're Nathan.
We read comics.
We're Daniel.
How's it going, everybody?
Hello.
Good. How are you? I mean, I can't physically talk to anybody that's listening to this
right
now.
You're asking how they're doing?
I hope they're doing good.
I'm sure they're doing spectacular because they're listening to the new episode.
Yeah.
The best day of the week.
Exactly.
Easily.
November 10th today, which normally we don't, I mean, doesn't matter. But what's funny is that we're reading Eternals this week. And it is Neil Gaiman's birthday today, the writer of the book that we read this week.
No shit.
So there's a little bit of a fun fact.
It's pretty fun. How perfect is that?
Funny how the world works sometimes. We're reading Eternals this week by Neil Gaiman, John Romita Jr., and some other people. Because I don't have their names pulled up. Yeah. Oh, is it Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. So you can skip to that directly if you'd like to talk about Eternals. You know, maybe you've seen the movie already. We have not, but
we're seeing it tomorrow.
Yeah, but we'll be prepared when we do see it now.
Yeah, we'll review the movie next episode.
Exactly.
When we decide what that is.
Yep. So you can skip to that, or you can skip to the news, which is where we talk about the comic book news that's been going on.
It's going to be a couple minutes. You don't have to skip to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just stay on the line.
Skip to the book, skip to the polis, skip to the Back Matter Matters.
Yes.
Or if you just want to know what we're reading next week.
Or just skip the whole episode if you want and just turn it off.
You know what? Turn off your phone.
If you could.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, listen to it. You never know.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into the news.
Sure thing. Not a lot of news this week.
Yeah, it seems a little bit slow. Also, November 10th, somebody screenshotted a panel from Watchmen, and it's when, like, Dr. Manhattan's, like, naming random dates. And, this one is, it's November 10th now. There's a circulatory system walking through the kitchen, and it's when he, like, first comes back as, like, Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, and that's actually not even correct. Like, it's not a circulatory system.
Oh, yeah, it's like a nervous system.
Yeah.
Right, and so...
But that's also a mistake that they repeated in the movie.
Right.
Which is, I like that.
Nice? I don't know. But the, but the tweet was, happy circulatory system walking through the kitchen day.
Is that 2021?
No. It's just November 10th. So, like, every day is, like, that day now.
That's so funny.
We should, like, put in our calendar, like, all of the dates, like, all of the August, like, 15ths or whatever.
Dude, the whole calendar is going to be filled up.
I hope so. So, anyway, the news.
The news.
Taika Waititi. Are you familiar?
Yep, big fan.
He's...
I just rewatched Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, I love that movie.
Great movie.
He is going to be the director of Alejandro Jodorowsky's and Mobius's The Inkle.
And
bringing it to the big screen. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's teaming up with a couple people. Peter B. Warren, not sure who that is. And Jemaine Clement, not sure who that is either. But yeah, he's like directing that movie. Which is pretty insane.
Is it? Do we know anything about live action animated or anything like that?
I don't know. He just said, I'm honored to announce I'll be bringing the maestro, the hero, the true creator, Alejandro Jodorowsky's masterpiece, The Inkle, to the big screen. Also stoked to be teaming up with those people. I don't know if it'll be live action, but I think it will be. I don't think he's done any like animation stuff.
That's going to be tough.
I haven't read it.
I've read it, and that's going to be tough. There's a lot of weird-ass shit in there. But yeah. Anyway.
He tends to be pretty good with weird-ass shit.
Yeah. No? Couldn't have picked a better guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty excited for that.
That is pretty exciting.
Not really news, but I just want to mention something. So,
you good?
Yeah, I have to like burp, but it's like it's there.
I thought you were crying.
It's not here. I was watching Supernatural, right? And for some reason, this season we're on season 13 now. Lucifer is doing like those Omni Man punches, where he just punches like straight through him.
That's sick,
and it's really cool. I just want to bring that up. And also, there's this like other dimension that they're like jumping in and out of, and they called it Earth 2, and I was like, ooh,
that's a little sus. That's already a thing.
References everywhere.
Yeah.
But anyway,
do you ever explain those to Sarah while you're watching them?
Some things that like I just leave alone,
like Earth 2.
Yeah. I'll, like, it's like
you're not gonna be like, see, now that's a fun little reference, because in DC Comics publication they created an Earth 2 because there were too many whatever. Like,
you know how I know like so much useless information?
Yeah.
I almost have to like filter it to what's actually interesting to other people.
Yeah.
Because I can tell in people's faces when they're bored when I'm talking.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
You know what I mean? So I just like cut it back sometimes.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
It hurts my feelings, but I like that info.
It is what it is.
I just won't share with them.
Yeah. Last week it was announced that the Bone Orchard Mythos is going to be a thing with Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino, right. But we just found out that they have, I guess, a little bit more about it. And it's going to be multiple graphic novels, miniseries, and maxiseries all connected to the same mythology. It starts in June 2022, and they have like names for the graphic novels going up all the way through September of 2022.
So
the first one
they're
going to
be released as graphic novels?
No, 2023 is how far out they've planned. So,
holy
yeah,
shit.
They're like different series, but in the same thing,
universe,
I guess, in the same universe, yeah.
Wow.
So like one of them, I think the first one that we're getting is The Passageway in June of 2022. The next one's 10,000 Black Feathers in September of 2022. And then Tenement is in 2023.
Wow.
So I don't know how that's all going to work, but...
More of Jeff Lemire back on his bullshit.
Yeah, I guess so. He's like, yeah, but I've been planned out through 2023. So
yeah, guess what?
Insane.
We're already done with them.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. Because like they're still coming out with Primordial. Like how long is that supposed to go?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess like 5 issues or something, right?
I'm sure he's on some other stuff. Maze Book.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
He's a busy guy. We know that.
And he is.
He always... I don't know. I'm sure he can chew all of it. It's not like he's biting off more than he can chew.
Right.
So
I don't feel like he ever does that.
No, definitely. He just got way more of a work ethic than I ever will.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he does more in a year than I've done in my entire life.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yep, fair.
Nathan.
Yes.
Netflix has casted their adaptation for One Piece.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. it's just a bunch of like kids, which is good because in case it does well and they want to like continue it for a long time, they can.
Right.
Because, you know, there's like 1,000 issues and episodes. So I guess they got someone real young just in case.
That's good.
Yeah. Did you see him?
It's pretty smart. No, I haven't seen him.
Do you care to see him?
Not really.
Okay.
Does he look good?
I thought it looked pretty good.
Let me see
him. I sent him to Carter and he's like, oh no. I'm like, what? That looks pretty good. And then he's like, he was just talking about how like adaptations never like do really well. You can like swipe through.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it looked like they look like the characters. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I won't watch like the anime just because it's just like a deep hole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's all the news I had. Do you have any other news?
Yeah. You know how there's the Comic Book Workers United thing that happened last week?
Yes, Image had a statement, right?
They had a statement, but it wasn't directly referencing that specific group. It was something else. So I don't really know how that works there. But rather than completely like addressing them, Todd McFarlane launches a new NFT marketplace with Steve Aoki.
So that's pretty so cool. So fucking random.
Isn't it? Like
that's like to the people that didn't even knew of each other's existence.
I know.
Let alone
Steve Aoki's like... Or no, Todd McFarlane, like, how do they know each other? How do they meet each other?
I have no
idea.
And then
how do they know each other enough to start an NFT marketplace?
To where they're like buds.
What does that mean? Like, is Spawn going to be jamming out to Steve Aoki music in an NFT?
I don't know. I thought NFTs were like pictures.
They can be like GIFs too.
Oh yeah, they can be like it's songs
pretty
and
much
stuff
anything
too.
Electronic.
Yeah.
That you can just tie a certificate to.
Right, right.
But yeah. I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, Image did have some sort of statement that they put out saying a statement regarding Image Comics and the Communications Workers of America. So not directly the comic book, whatever, United, but there's just some sort of representation petition with the National Labor Relations Board asking to hold a secret ballot election so that eligible members of the Image Comics office staff can determine if they want the CWA to represent them in their employment with Image. So I don't really know what that means. But
it seems like from what I got from it, it's like they're acknowledging that people are wanting more and stuff like that, and they are going to work with whoever they need to find a agreeable solution, and then hopefully everyone will be happy.
I hope it means good things, but
it seems like it is. Like they're not like just ignoring it.
Yeah, and then from that like Comic Book Workers United group, they were like, we want to see it at that table.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what that means. So hopefully it means good things. But if it doesn't, at least we have Steve Aoki NFTs.
Right, yeah. That'll make up for it.
It's so, like, the picture, too, of just, like, Stevie Aoki and Todd McFarlane
they're
together.
They're not even in the same picture. They're just photoshopped together.
Like, they weren't,
they can't
like,
just have a take a picture in the same room.
Yeah, I know. Just so strange. So that's pretty funny. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much all the news I had.
Yeah, pretty boring week. Just, like, a bunch of shit. Like, a Spider-Man poster that didn't really tell us much. And then
yeah.
A bunch of and then people saying they want to be superheroes, stuff like that.
Yeah, people thought that DC was trying to get rid of Clark Kent like Superman, and then the writer of Superman was like, no, that's not happening. He's not going away.
So yeah, that'd be like one of the dumbest things that DC could do.
Yeah.
Like if they kill him, that's one thing, but they're just going to bring him back.
Yeah, but they're not trying to phase out Superman for Clark Kent.
Can you imagine like in the 80s or whatever, or the 90s, like when the Death of Superman came out, if like the internet was around?
Dude.
Like they'd be like,
it would have been on
DC's
fire.
Trying to kill Superman and like get rid of him.
Dude, I bet they got some hella angry letters at that time.
But isn't that like a pretty well regarded book?
Yeah, it's great.
But when you like announce it, but it's kind people of like, are like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but when it came out at the time, like people didn't know that it was an option for him to just come back.
Is that like the first superhero that like died?
I think that's like the first big one that
probably,
you know, was. I mean, I'm sure people had died and maybe come back, but it made big news, I'm sure, at the time.
Right.
And people were like, I need to know what happens. Why is Superman dying, you know?
Then buy the book, bitch.
So it's strange. Yeah. So then they bought the book. And then, but then right after that, they created four other Superman books with like all the ones that came out, like Steel,
the League of Superman,
Superboy. Yeah. Superboy Prime and The Exterminator.
Cyborg Superman. And then what other one?
Yeah. The Exterminator, I think.
They had a animated movie called The League of Superman.
Yeah, I wonder if it was good.
Me too. Dude, I have all these animated movies on like my HBO Max like list or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just like never get to them because normally...
Yeah, we should just spend a day to like binge them.
Either a day or like try and watch like one every other week. Because
like I'm sure they're good. Like I want to watch the Injustice one. I want to watch the Long Halloween. Like I want to watch
Injustice
all of them.
One, that one's out. And we just out. Like we just forgot about it.
I know. I was like, I'm gonna watch this one when it comes out, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
let's get in the book, shall we?
Yeah, let's get into this book. So we read The Eternals by Neil Gaiman, John Romita Jr.,
Danny Mickey.
Oh, he's the inker?
As the inker with a couple other guys. And colorist Matt Hollingsworth with a couple other guys.
Yeah. And then Todd Klein as the letterer. So, yeah. So, this is like a...
Cover art by Rick Barry, who is kick-ass.
Oh, yeah. I love the covers here.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, so this is like a... Kind of like a...
This is a continuity-based book, it seems like. It's slightly dependent on that. Like,
yeah, very slightly. That's just like a small factor of it, but it doesn't like fuck with the book at all.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's not a whole lot of Eternals out there. Like you have like the main like Jack Kirby stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that the history of the Eternals is kind of interesting because Jack Kirby left Marvel. He went to DC. He did like the Fourth World stuff with your Darksides and your Mr. Miracles. Yeah.
Your Big Bardas.
Yeah. Your Big Bardas. Your Orions.
Your Granny Goodnesses.
All the goodnesses. And then that went for a little bit, and then he eventually came back to Marvel, and then he did Eternals, which is kind of just like New Gods in a way, but he was able to do it, I guess, I don't know, for Marvel. And so that went for like a little bit, and then there was like one other Eternal series, and then there's this one, and Neil Gaiman really wanted to do this one.
Yeah.
But it's in like 2007 or whatever.
2006 or
like during Civil War period. Correct. And so that's like a factor in this is like the Superhero Registration Act like comes up every once in a while.
Yeah, I guess the purpose of this book was to explain their role during that.
Yeah.
And so.
And there's a lot of space stuff in this for sure. Or a lot of lore.
I was looking for that though.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn about this, know who these people are. I wanted to see all kinds of cosmic shit.
Same.
And we did.
And I think that I enjoyed it for that because it was kind of like a slow burn, but on purpose so that you could get a grasp of like who all of these Eternals are. Because there's like 100 Eternals, but Marvel mainly focuses on like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Typically. And then like there's all the stuff with like the Celestials and stuff. So like this book, it's like a little bit longer, but if it was only five issues, it would have just been constant exposition, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like a little dense. Like, I emphasize a little.
Yeah.
Like, some, it like kind of starts off a little slow, but then really kicks into gear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it tells us just enough for it not to be like too wordy.
Yeah.
And I feel like, as like a novelist, like Neil Gaiman, when he's writing these things, he's probably got to like step on the brakes as far as like detail.
Yeah.
But
I liked it a lot though.
Like, yeah, it was cool.
I always like Neil Gaiman stuff when I read it.
Of course.
Especially his stuff for like Big Two.
Yeah.
Because he's done like other stuff at Marvel, like Marvel 1602 or whatever it was.
Oh, right.
The 1600s one. I really enjoyed that one a lot. And he's done, you know, a couple other things.
Sure, but he's done this some one, Batman, right?
Probably.
Probably.
I don't know what else off the top of my head that he's done comic book wise. But yeah, I think this one's definitely a good one.
Honestly, before getting into this, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to learn all these names and like get them straight.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like I know all of them, like the back of my hand, you know?
I really appreciate that they're like people names are very reminiscent of their Eternals names.
Yeah, what is it? Mark Curry, and is Makari.
Yeah, Makari. And then Icarus, his like human name is Icarus.
Oh, I didn't catch that one.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
I know. And I think those are like the only two, but it like helps me learn their names.
I'm like, glad Mark like Curry. We didn't learn everyone's like Earth name and the thing. It's just really those two.
I think it is only those two though, like normally. Because like,
okay,
there's Thena and they refer to her as Thena.
And same as Cersei
as well.
So that was cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. They like say their names enough for me to be like, okay, I know who this person is. And they don't throw every Eternal in here in like the first issue, which I appreciate as well.
Yeah.
There's like, some that come like in just like in issue five and you're like, here's who, you know, the deal with these guys are. They're also a part of this. And
they're
you're
like, okay, cool. There's one guy, there's Zuris.
Zuris.
Who's kind of like sprinkled about.
Yeah.
Because he's like a homeless person.
Yeah.
And then he just like pops up when he's needed.
He comes back later, yeah. And I think Neil Gaiman set himself up to tell the story very well.
Uh-huh.
The concept is that all the Eternals don't know that they're Eternals and they think that they're normal people until they start to slowly figure out that they're Eternals.
Right.
And so you're left with the question of why don't they know and
where have they been?
And what have they been doing
for like last however many years?
So Eternals can just like remember seemingly like out of nowhere or if something happened specifically. So doing like that method, I think, is really nice to help me know that like these people's names.
This would be like a good way for like Marvel, the MCU, to introduce these people.
Yeah, I almost feel like they'll do something kind of similar because if the idea is that they're immortal people and they weren't around for like phase 1 through 3 like events, they probably at some point didn't know who they were. Maybe.
It seems like from the trailer, like they are very aware of who everyone is.
It seems that way, but yeah.
They were just told not to interfere with anybody or any Earth events unless the Deviants are involved.
Yeah, that could be it as well.
So, but anyway, yeah, this is done well. Yeah, I thought it was cool.
You have the same opinion about JRJR?
Basically, yeah. There were some good panels. He draws a kick-ass Celestial.
That's for sure.
And like the cosmic shit, he does really well. He does good with like backgrounds and stuff.
I think he's very, very strong in this book.
It's just like the faces and like the proportions and like the shapes of people. It's just odd to me.
I've learned to love it.
It's not bad in any sense. And when you kind of get the ball rolling, you kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
For me at least. And then I kind of like the redesigns of the costumes because they're like kind of clunky and they kind of look like almost Jack Kirby-esque.
Yeah.
You know, so I can appreciate that.
Yeah, his style fits really well for like Jack Kirby characters.
Yeah, so it didn't feel like he was trying to modernize it like too much or anything like that. So yeah, it's just me complaining. He's a much better artist than I am. It's just like,
yeah,
his style is just a little bit more loosey-goosey than what I'm used to, yep. I guess.
And that's perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine.
But I think he does great in this. But yeah, we'll get into it.
What if you got like JRJR on the pod and you're like, be nice. I'm like, I can't.
Why do you draw faces this way? Why is
everybody's, who taught you?
Why is everybody's nose so big?
why does Icarus's chest look like this?
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
He looks like a little fish.
Why is he so round in this tube?
He looks like a fucking tin of sardines right here.
Dude, it's pretty funny.
Anyway.
Why does everybody look like they've been inflated?
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I like him a lot.
Why is everyone's forearm so fucking big?
I like him in Daredevil, though. Have you seen like some panels of like his Daredevil? I think he did it with Frank Miller, but like It was like the black suit one with like the beanie over his head and everything, and it looks really good.
Well, that's good because then he doesn't have to draw faces as much.
Yeah. The way that he draws clothes as well, it's like very, it's like a little extra, it feels like, because like the folding of clothes at some points, I'm like, come on, let's chill out a little bit.
It's got to look like real clothes. He does good with that, I'll admit. That's like really hard concept to like kind of pick up on.
Yeah.
But he does a good Hulk, I'll admit that. Like
is there a Hulk in here?
No, he does Hulk stuff, like he did like World War Hulk.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Okay.
So that was good. I like that.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get into issue one.
Yeah, so again, the concept is that the Eternals are on Earth and they have no memories of their own history or abilities as like gods. Do they refer to them as gods for the most part, or?
Yeah.
I would say so.
Basically.
So they've been living normal, mortal lives, everyone except for Icarus, who is trying to convince Makari, but known now as Mark Curry, that he is an indestructible being. But Mark blows it off and he continues working hard as a med student, you know, trying to get his doctorate. And then there's another unknowing Eternal named Cersei, who is working at her own business as a party planner, and she's like asking for a friend for money and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, I mean, there's like a little bit of like a flashback or like a memory that Mark Curry gets as he's like taking a nap, and you see like the Celestials for the first time, and just the sense of scale that JRJR has here is so cool to look at.
Yeah,
it's, like these it's guys good, yeah. really feel fucking huge,
gigantic,
and it's awesome. Like whenever you see a Celestial, you're like, god damn, those guys are big boys.
I just want a print of like all the Celestials so I can see them, and then like a little man or something on there. So
I know,
for scale,
it makes it somewhat better,
because if it's just them, they just look like people, you
but,
know,
like the angle that he draws them at and everything, like just makes them feel like they're looking down on you.
They look
as
like
well
buildings. Yeah,
yeah. And just like, I just love the design of Celestials as well, because it's not just like a typical mask.
Yeah, they're so sick.
My favorite one is the Domino face one.
Oh yeah, of course.
Other than like Galactus, I guess.
I think he's gonna be in the movie
in Eternals.
Yeah, there's like a pop for him.
Oh well, that's cool.
Spoilers,
I guess.
it's what we're used
I
to.
I hope so.
Yeah, it'd be sick. Be really fucking scary.
I'm still holding
too.
Out that Sylvester Stallone's gonna play him.
okay.
I don't think he will, but anyway,
I think I like that one just because it's the most recognizable, you know. The rest of them, like, I don't know if I've actually seen them, or maybe it's just his style.
I've seen a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And anyway, again, I like the funny names. Mark Curry as Makari, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also Druig, who is an Eternal, but he's working for the nation of Verojica, and he, I don't know what his role is in this nation, but he hires Cersei to plan a party that will encourage tourism in Verojica.
He's like a junior ambassador or something like that.
Yeah, he's like kind of lower in the government, but he's kind of helping out Verojica. So he hires Cersei and he's like, I want you to plan a fat party. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to get people to ski here, is what he says.
Yeah, he's trying to bring tourism to that country.
Yeah,
so he's like, invite famous people, invite scientists,
yeah,
and
invite
blah,
all
blah.
The good people. Get a Tony Stark if you could, you know. Yeah. So Cersei gets some fat cash for that. But then we also see Thena, who is an Eternal that doesn't know, and she's working at Stark Industries, like developing weapons and stuff for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, what a sick marketing plan! Just throw a sweet party and be like, we have parties like this all the time in Verojica. You should come here.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's the funny idea. So Icarus, who's the Eternal that's kind of figuring out that he's an Eternal, he gets attacked on a rooftop by two guys, and there's like an explosion involved, which puts Icarus in the hospital to be helped now by Mark Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Would you believe that? That's crazy.
What a quinkadink.
But Mark still doesn't believe Icarus's explanation, like about Eternals' history, and Icarus basically explains that the Celestials came to Earth and they created life, and eventually they created 100 Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
But they also made Deviants, which are like these unique monsters that end up fucking like rabbits, and they overpopulate and they start to attack humans. So the Eternals have to step in and help, but there's so many Deviants, like millions,
yeah,
that the Eternals aren't enough. So the Celestials have to step in and protect human life.
And then they just like fucking start eating them.
Yeah.
Like popcorn.
Well, like, we don't know that that's what they're doing yet.
Oh, spoilers.
Well, like,
but they get rid of them.
Yeah, they do eventually, but like we just think that they come down and they're like, get the fuck away and like help them out, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, later they like eat them and that's like a part of the plot, which is kind of funny. Like they create life in this disease.
They give it life and they take it away.
And they eat it.
And they grub on it.
Yeah. But like once the horde of deviants are gone, humans start to worship the Eternals, and a few of them are like worshipped as gods that we know today. Like Makari ends up being the Egyptian god Osiris because he teaches them like language or something.
Yeah.
And but Mark still doesn't believe any of it, so he gives up Icarus to the two dudes, to two guys from the hospital, but they end up being the ones that try to kill Icarus in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the first issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of lore here. We get a lot of Celestials. I love this page where we see them like coming down to Earth and you see like a dinosaur and then one of them picks up the dinosaur.
Yeah.
And then like you're like, holy fuck, that's a big hand, because I thought that dinosaur was supposed to be big, but now he's small in his hand and you're like, oh fuck.
Nathan, do you know what kind of dinosaur that is?
That is a Stegosaurus.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No.
What is it?
A Stegosaurus has the spikes on his back.
Oh, this is the long neck.
You don't remember that ASDF video where it's like,
well, I thought he was
I am a Stegosaurus.
I thought he was spitting facts.
No, that he was a Stegosaurus. The video is correct. It's got the spikes on his back.
Oh.
This is a Bronchiosaurus?
That's a cool name, too.
Yeah, or I probably butchered that, but it starts with a B.
A Bronchiosaurus sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, the one with the long neck.
Yeah.
I like this one where they're just kind of like segueing to Earth in space. Like they don't like
fly.
They do
have segues, don't they?
I don't know if it's even a segue or anything, but they're just like standing and floating towards them.
Yeah.
Look at this one.
Is that how they like go around space?
Look at this one. You can see his little booty.
He does have a little celestial booty, doesn't he?
Yeah, because it's from behind, and so you can just see his little booty.
Yeah, I love how clunky they are. Like, they look like Transformers in a way, but like a little bit more sprinkle of like alien in them.
Sure.
Know? But yeah, do they just like fly around like that? Like, they're not... They don't look like they're flying. They just kind of look like they're action figures in a way.
Yeah, they don't look like they're going very far or very fast.
Yeah, but maybe they are.
Anyway, this panel is cool where they're like stomping behind like all the animals on Earth.
Yeah.
And they're just gigantic.
And I like the parallels to like actual gods in history. Like, I think that that's interesting and kind of ballsy for them to do at the mm-hmm. same time. But for I sure. guess for like ancient Egyptian and like ancient gods like that, it's not that risky.
Yeah, just because, like...
People don't really, like, believe in that much anymore, I don't
think.
The history
in that is kind of, like, fuzzy, and, like, what they look at...
Yeah.
Or what they look like is kind of, like, unknown.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting is that the deviants are all, like, a different species, technically.
Yeah.
Like, they're all different.
Every single one is unique, but...
Which is cool.
Yeah, which is nice.
I don't think they'll carry that over in the film, but...
No, probably not. But it's fun to see JRJR draw a bunch of unique things, I guess. I think it's weird that Icarus is hurt enough by that explosion when he's supposed to be like a god, you know, this like godlike person, but I guess they could still get injured. But you'd think that he'd have like a little bit more of like a tougher skin to him, you know?
He had like a bomb go off like right next to him.
It could have been like a special bomb too. It didn't look like it, just a typical like,
yeah, because these people are like looking for him.
Yeah.
And so, and then he heals the next day.
Yeah, true. So anyway, that's what goes on there.
Anyway.
So issue two, we see Icarus in a tube with the two guys that took him. And this is that panel where, why does he look like a can of sardines? Like, what is this? Why does he look so round? He looks like a balloon with a head on him.
Yeah, dude. He looks like a couch cushion.
Like,
it's just like his shoulders are like rolled back, right? And his head's back. And just like his chest, like just... There's no difference between his shoulder and his chest, you know, and he just looks so round.
He looks like your Nana's couch.
Think your Nana's couch, that's him.
And then just put a head on it.
Yeah, exactly.
He is very like over exaggerated with like how he draws, and he draws very oval nipples, which is interesting
super
as
oval.
Well.
That just means like his pecs are super big, you know.
Like he looks buff, but he looks bubbly at the same time.
Yeah, he's like bulking right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Anyway, Icarus is in this tube with the two guys that took him, and they're trying to find any way at all to kill Icarus through, like, different tactics. So, in this one, when he's in the tube, they're trying to, like, drown him, but he can't be drowned. And
yeah, his body can, like, take the oxygen out of water.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
So, he's a fish.
A little overexplained.
Kind of is, like, sure. A little tuna.
Yeah.
So, Mark Curry and Cersei end up meeting each other at a coffee shop, and Mark gets invited to the big party that she's planning. And then we also meet Sprite, who is a child star that Icarus claimed to also be an Eternal, but Mark kind of blew off. But he seems to be, you know, at first, like a normal kid with no powers. We kind of just see him, like, doing an interview at first.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, this is our famous segment that I'm making up right now, Kid Check. But it's very infamously difficult to draw a child. And I think JRJR does pretty good. But Sprite has some fucking bushy-ass eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
I mean, you don't really wax that much when you're a kid.
Well, yeah, but they don't have that bushy of eyebrows either. Like, he's looking like Eugene Levy over here.
I don't know about that. But
look at this panel and tell me that you don't see Eugene Levy.
I'm looking straight at it.
He looks pretty bushy. I don't know.
Yeah, so he does, his proportions with kids is, like, spot on.
Yeah.
Like, the narrow shoulders.
Big ears.
He's got some baggy clothing. Big ears.
I think big ears really sells it.
Big ears helps, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, Sprite looks pretty fun, I guess.
Sprite is 11 in this.
Yep. And so Mark gets visions of Icarus being tortured, and he sees kind of more random visions, but he chooses to play it off as, like, a lack of sleep since he's doing long hours at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Mark shows up to Cersei's party that she planned for Druig, again, the dude that was trying to help out Verojica. And then Thena's there, too, on behalf of Stark. So the party gets ambushed by some mercenary guys that are part of, like, a Verojica terrorist group, I think. And so this starts to trigger, like, the Eternals' powers, because as Mark gets shot at, he starts to slow time with how fast that he can move. And so we see his power start to activate.
He gathers all of the bullets that are shot up in a metal vase.
Yep.
And then he takes all the guns from them and then knocks them all down.
Yeah.
In the split second that time is moving.
But he's trying to be real careful about it. He's like, I don't want to break their fingers. But he definitely breaks their fingers as he's, like, taking the guns away.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the two guys torturing Icarus end up killing him with, like, a particle accelerator thing that they have.
Yeah.
My question is, just start with that. If you have a particle accelerator, like, lying around and you're trying to kill him.
I think they're just trying to find easy ways to kill Eternals.
Oh, that's fair.
You know, in case they need to kill more, like, quickly.
Yeah. I guess your go-to wouldn't be particle accelerator.
So, you know? Bomb didn't work.
Yeah.
A handheld device.
Yep.
Can't drown him.
Drowning, that didn't work.
He's got to go up in there, you know.
He was dunked in lava a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah. He's a smelting machine or something.
So, but particle accelerator, that'll do the job.
Yeah, very very Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Scene right here.
Yeah, I love when, like, someone gets blasted and you just see, like, a silhouette of their skull or of their skeleton.
Oh, yeah. Pretty sick.
That shit's great.
This is probably the coolest panel, maybe.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So, issue 3, Mark, you know, he uses his powers and he stops all the bullets. He disarms the mercenaries. And then Iron Man pulls up to help. And I think it is hilarious how Iron Man just comes in, because he, like, smashes through the wall, but there's not a particular pose that he does when he's smashing through the wall. He's just, like, standing upright. So he just kind of, like, you know that scene from SpongeBob when, like, he's just kind of, like, morphing through the wall, but you see, like, the metal bend at, like, the shape of SpongeBob, and then he blasts through it?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
So what's funny is, like, he does, like, the Kool-Aid Man, like,
yeah,
thing, and he goes through a wall that also has a window in it.
Yeah.
And he's standing straight up. So there's a hole in there of just his body straight up.
Yeah.
He could have just flew through the window real quick.
He didn't do, like, a
way
Superman,
less property damage.
Yeah. He didn't do, like, a Superman, like, fly through it, both fists, you know, forward. He's literally, like, standing, like, normally, and he just kind of, like, shifts through the wall.
Yeah. He, like, you have to deal with framing. You have to deal with drywall at this point.
Yeah.
Not, and the window.
And people getting hit by the shards.
And the fucking, the thing that holds the window.
You think he would have just done wall or just done window?
Yeah, one or the other. Pick one, guy.
Yeah, come on. But anyway, Iron Man has a word with Cersei about registering as a superhero, but she doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I guess she used to be an Avenger.
Yeah, and Iron Man, like, knows that, but Cersei didn't know that. I didn't know that, so I was on Cersei's side.
Yeah, I know.
And Iron Man's like, fine, you can be that way. And then he, like, leaves. But Mark Curry manages to get in front of the child star Sprite to talk to him about all this and see if he is an Eternal like Icarus said. But Sprite still kind of seems like a normal kid. So So this is the first time we kind of see like the Civil War era kind of come in, because there's other superheroes at this party, but they don't help to stop the mercenaries, since they need to get like,
so there's like
confirmation of from like the government in order to like actually step in.
There's like a superhero reality TV show.
Yeah.
Like, who's the best superhero kind of thing.
And they have to be registered in order to participate in the show.
Yeah. And then they have contracts to where they'll get kicked off the show if they don't get like approval for like saving the world or whatever.
Yeah. So that's also an interesting part.
You know, I kind of understood like Stark's take on this whole situation.
Yeah.
But in like this, he's like literally not helping. People are not helping because
people would have all been dead if there wasn't an Eternal in the room, you know?
Right.
So like,
they would have been dead too.
It seemed, but like, how do you regulate that? And which I guess is why it's like such a good like series, because it's like you get where both sides are coming from and they're both right to an extent, you know?
Yeah.
But it has to be like one way or the other.
We should do Civil War sometime.
Yeah, we should. It's a good book.
Great book.
So yeah, that all happens. Druig starts to use his like Eternal powers now, and he has like these like mind control powers that make people see like their worst fears or something like that.
They have like weaknesses and stuff, and he can like see those.
So he uses that and he starts to take over Vrojika. And he basically does, like, throughout this whole series. That's what he does. He just takes over this whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And then Athena frees herself from the imprisonment of the mercenaries that captured her. And then she uses a phone to call Iron Man. And then
real quick,
Iron Man helps her break out.
So she calls Iron Man, and we see a picture of Stark Tower.
Yeah.
This, like, Avengers headquarters looks so evil. What is that about?
You know, you're right. It looks like Hela's, like, headdress.
I know. This looks like...
I have no idea what that's about.
It looks so evil. Like, that's like an evil layer right there.
Yeah, I don't know why they designed it that way.
This looks like
it definitely sticks out, though.
This looks like where, like, the ring from Lord of the Rings should be held.
That's like where Sauron
is
on top of.
Yeah, it's fucking freaky. Yeah. I don't know.
You know,
it doesn't even make sense. Like,
I looked at that and I was like,
architecturally,
I guess Iron Man lives there. I don't know. And then I like skipped past it, but I didn't think about how sinister it looks.
Yeah, no, they show it again. I'm like, ah, it still looks evil.
I haven't changed my mind about this.
Yeah.
But
it looks like Venom's house.
Like a symbiote takes over.
like a building.
Like a symbiote takes over like an architect.
Yeah, basically.
They're like, we need to build it this way.
It's so jarring.
Yeah, like, it is strange. I don't know. Has it ever looked like that? I don't know why. I don't know.
Maybe
it's a very small detail.
Maybe
if we
read Civil War again, it'll look like that or something. Maybe that's what it looked like in canon.
I hope someone mentions it, though, and explains why it looks like that. Because I feel like if it is like that, people just won't mention it, and it'll just make me even more mad.
Right.
That's weird.
What is the history on this?
But anyway, so Athena breaks out of imprisonment, calls Iron Man. Iron Man comes to help, and then Athena gets back to her son. Her husband died at that party, which is unfortunate. But then it ends with a shot of Icarus being reactivated in Antarctica as like a clone.
He's in this like little cookie cutter thing.
Yeah.
And I guess he's being reborn
He's getting baked into another Eternal.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, the Eternals can just like respawn, I guess, which is...
It's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that.
And so
he doesn't have any dick, though.
Who needs him?
But, like, I don't understand that because...
What's your dick ever done for you?
Well, not much. Nothing positive, that's for sure.
I know.
But Athena...
Just get me in trouble.
Athena has a son, like, a biological son.
Yeah.
So, do they have... How do they do that?
So, they don't have dicks, but they got coochies.
I guess so. That must be it.
Maybe Icarus also has a coochie.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe...
Are these clothes?
I don't think so.
So, his skin's just orange? No, there's a zipper on here. That's got to be a zipper, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not, like, fully cooked yet.
I just...
Maybe the dick is, like, an icing.
Later. Yeah. Okay.
Or a little sprinkle, you know?
I'd believe that, yeah.
Anyway.
That helps me understand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, issue 4, Icarus is fully baked. He's been awakened.
Still no dick, though.
But now that he's awake, we don't ever see him from the front. So, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only see ass cheeks once he's like up and moving around.
Yeah, I don't see a bulge anywhere because it's probably just hard to.
I mean, I'm sure that he doesn't like draw that, but yeah, now that we don't see a dick, now that he's up and moving around, that makes me think that the dick comes in later.
I love how some comic artists will just like draw a bulge.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
Like
because they're trying to make it not look too bulgy and also not too small.
But they focus on the bulge.
They probably spend quite some time on the bulge.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I know, like, like Superman sometimes has like a bulge going on.
Quite the package. He's got to have a super package.
Like I feel like Clay Mann, when he draws like Superman, draws a bulge probably.
Yeah, he draws the outline of the head.
That would be cool.
That's how detailed that dude is.
Wow, that's crazy. So anyway, Icarus, he's awake. He doesn't remember anything, but he's in Olympia, which I guess is the town of the Eternals.
Yeah, that's where they live.
It's in Antarctica. Futuristic towns like this, they all look the same, right? I mean, they all basically just look like weird, like impractical structures.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just think that whenever I see like an Atlantis or something like that,
it's basically just like alien Asgard.
Yeah, that's what exactly. That's like another mythical city. And like, they're like, how do we make it look cool? And they're like, let's put, I don't know, random spikes.
Like aliens didn't think of just like squares.
Yeah. You know? Are we just like too basic, I guess? I feel like we're more efficient than anything, you know?
We're just not there yet, I guess.
It's strange. But yeah, so Druig, back with him. He continues taking over the military with his mind powers. Cersei starts to put together that she has powers when she accidentally reality morphs a cat into a dragon.
And it's like she's a furry dragon.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. That's interesting.
I don't know why she's on a roof in New York City and like her
in a bikini.
Bikini? Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Because she's sitting on the concrete. If it's summer, that shit's hot.
Yeah. Or it's New York. If it's like winter, that shit's cold.
Indeed.
It's cold out.
It sure is.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know why she's in a bikini at all. A little strange.
Yeah.
But Mark Curry is still with Sprite and they go on a picnic.
No, we're going with his eternal name now. Makkari.
Okay, Makkari. So Makkari
is with Sprite.
He's with Sprite. Which is a funny name.
Yeah.
So dude, was there not Sprite back in the day? Was that not like an issue? Who did Sprite
first? In 2006, there's Sprite, yeah.
Well, I know, but like when Jack Kirby made the Eternals in like the 70s, when was Sprite?
Apparently other people have Googled this. 1961. Yeah, it was before the Eternals. Why is Sprite a name?
I don't know. Does Sprite mean something like normally? Does it have a definition?
Maybe.
Sprite just means an elf or a fairy. So I guess you can't really copyright it. Maybe you can't. I mean, I guess it would have been.
Well, it's copyrighted. I guess the logo.
Oh, Sprites are also like a computer like gaming thing. Like they're a graphic.
Oh.
So I guess that's also a thing. Anyway.
Huh.
That answers my question.
Yeah, I guess.
Sprites exist in all methods.
I mean, is Makkari a real name, you know?
No, but that one sounds more made up than Sprite.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't love that. And he's in the movie, or it's a girl in the movie.
Sprite is?
Sprite.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I like looked up who was like cast as like everything.
Okay. I was just going to like walk in and be surprised. But anyway, Makkari with Sprite. They're having a picnic.
Again, spoilers, more spoilers.
They're having a picnic. Makkari is trying to get answers. And so Sprite has Makkari activate like a weird elevator that takes them down to some underground lair. And then he tricks Makkari into trying to attack an unconscious celestial because he didn't know that it was a celestial. He's very up close.
It's like a huge room and there's a black wall and he's like, run at full speed into this black wall and you can activate it.
And he does, and some shit starts to happen to him because Eternals are like hardwired to not attack celestials.
And then it zooms out and a giant ass celestial is in there.
And he's just sleeping.
He's just taking a little nap.
Yeah. But this celestial that's taking a nap is literally drawn like so huge and this image is so zoomed out that it's hard to tell what this guy is.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like the Kirby dots or like the Kirby energy, whatever you call that, like around him as well. So when it zoomed out, I'm like, what am I looking at?
They're like the size of freckles, man.
Yeah, I know. I had to like zoom in and like I still enjoy like the sense of scale, but there's like a lot of details over the sleeping celestial.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's cool. And I like that rule that celestials can't like, or that Eternals can't attack a Celestials.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm just like, that makes sense. You know, I feel like that's something they would do.
Mm-hmm.
So Sprite begins to uncover what's going on, and he reveals that he is an Eternal, or at least used to be up until he got fed up with being 11 years old for a million years, yep. Which makes sense.
Because everyone kept treating him as a kid for some reason.
Yeah, and what really ticked him off is that he couldn't bang Cersei as an 11-year-old.
Everyone was banging Cersei, yeah. Except for him.
Cersei got around to 60 of the male Eternals, but not Sprite, because he's 11 years old, and that would be weird. So he's like, man, that sucks. So
he has this like evil plan just to get some puss.
I think so. Well, I mean, he's just kind of done with being 11 years old. So basically, his thing is that he has the power of illusion, and he uses the power of illusion to trick the Eternals into forming the Unimind, which is a thing where like they all share their knowledge together with one another.
It's like a spiritual,
it's like a hive mind thing.
Yeah, if people know what that is.
So they all do that together, and then they also use the power of the Dreaming Celestial with the Unimind to specifically amplify Sprite's illusion powers, allowing him to change reality. So he uses the Unimind, funnels the power of the Celestial, aims it at himself, basically, and since he's more powered up, his powers change to alter reality. That's how I took it. And so he, part of that new power that he has is that he can turn Eternals into normal people. So now even Sprite gets to be like a mortal child.
And he can grow up.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I always love like how tragic the trope of like old person in a young body is.
Oh, yeah.
Like you see that all the time. Or at least...
Golden Gale.
Golden Gale is like the prime example. I'm like, yeah, that would suck. Like I wouldn't want to be a kid for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Being in your 20s, though, that's prime.
Definitely.
But... yeah.
Yeah, just stop there.
The way Sprite is, that's not. And
yeah, being 11 sucks.
I also like, there's like a little detail in there, but Gaiman decided that Sprite is like the inspiration for Peter Pan.
Yeah.
He's like at one point, whoever the writer of Peter Pan was, like Sprite looked exactly like Peter Pan. And so he kind of like takes credit for it, which is pretty funny. And I feel like Sprite's kind of like a reverse Pinocchio in a way, because they both want to be like a real boy. But Sprite wants to like downgrade to being a normal person so that he can age up.
Yeah.
And Pinocchio just wants to be a real boy.
And not a doll.
And not a wooden doll. So I just had that observation in my head.
Good job, Nathan. Good connection. Like,
also, if you have the power of illusion, and I don't condone this, but if you're 11 years old and you want people to think that you're grown up, just make them think that you're grown up. Right?
Yeah.
Just use the power of illusion and be like, I'm actually 25 now.
Because he's like pitted people against each other, like he's made lies seem real to people and stuff like that.
He made Eternals think that Celestials were like walking around so that they would go investigate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it seems like he has some Loki-esque powers, you know, of being able to use illusion. So I don't know why he wouldn't just do that.
Right.
And then how Neil Gaiman is it that he calls it the Dreaming Celestial?
Oh, super.
Because of his like Sandman stuff, like the dreaming.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, of course he would call it that.
Yeah, sleeping's too easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs to be the Dreaming Celestial.
Of course.
He needs to plug his other work at the same time, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, Thena, who's now back with her child, has a dream where she is back as an Eternal and fighting like thousands of deviants. And that activates her powers when she wakes up and she's in like a cool Eternal suit. So she seems to remember Icarus when he flies in, and Icarus says that they need to wake the Dreaming Celestial and save the world. So that's a good little cliffhanger. I really like Thena's outfit.
Well, they said that someone is going to, they said they are going to wake the Dreaming Celestial. They don't need to do it.
Oh, okay. So they're trying to stop the Celestial from being awake.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. I read that wrong, and it kind of confused me for the rest of the series.
Sorry.
Because I'm like, why are these guys trying to wake him up, but the other ones aren't? But now it makes sense. He just knows that someone's trying to wake him up.
Did you say that the guys that killed Icarus were deviants?
We know that now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did say that. So
they go after Sprite.
They go after, yeah, Sprite and Makari. They take him hostage because they're actually deviants. One of them has a sweet tongue and a big tummy.
Yeah, like a tummy mouth.
A tummy mouth.
It's kind of like the Jared Leto like Joker tattoo. But with the mouth open.
I just kind of think it looks like Slimer a little bit.
That too.
Yeah. So in New York, we're now introduced to two other Eternals named Ajak, who's the only one that can communicate with Celestials. Like that's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to wake up Zuras, who's the king of Celestials, I think. Or like they're...
He's like the boss.
He's like the boss, yeah.
He's the first one.
Yeah. And he tries to do that so they can stop the Celestial from waking, which would... in turn cause a second horde of deviants to come to Earth. So they want to stop that. So Zuras snaps out of it and he stops being a drunk bum on the street and he's ready to go.
I guess he's the most powerful one too. They said that.
That makes sense. He looks like he's pretty powerful.
He's very, you know, Odin-like.
Yeah. I feel like Romita loves drawing just some dudes in the rain. Like I feel like there's like a lot of raining scenes that he's like kind of known for and you can tell like his style.
Mm-hmm.
whenever it rains, it like rains like a fuck ton. Like there's so much like splashing going off of like the people's outlines.
Yeah, it's never just a sprinkle.
No, no, it's never. Yeah, never, never a couple drops. It's just raining buckets. So Druig finally takes over everything, and he creates new Verojica. So he did it. Good for him. And then the Deviants reveal that when the first big horde of Deviants happened, the Celestials wanted that so that they could just eat millions of Deviants. And the now dreaming Celestial, he spoke out about the Celestials eating them, and the Celestials were like, fuck you, and they trapped him into Earth. But now the Deviants see this dreaming Celestial as like their god, basically. And the Deviants are using Makari to wake up the dreaming Celestial. So yeah, that's kind of like a weird twist, I guess, that they made Deviants so they could overpopulate in like the thousands so they could just come back and eat them.
What would you do?
you know, that's a good point.
You're hungry, really, then what are you going to do? Just make food?
I guess that Celestials I got to eat too, you know?
Yeah, man.
So just might as well make mass food. They're kind of like meal prep in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
They just kind of like, they make something, they like let it do its thing for a little bit, and then it's all cooked, and then they have a bunch of food.
They're like farmers.
Yeah, I would say so.
The way, with how big they are, like all the Deviants in their hand just looks like popcorn.
I know, yeah. I love when they like zoom out and he's just like, you see Celestials eating them by like the hundreds.
They do like the dad, like handful of popcorn and just like,
they just kind of like pour it into their mouth. Funnel it into their mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just thought that was like a weird fact, because Celestials to me were like these big things and you're like, I can't even comprehend what they want. But they're just hungry, I guess.
They're just trying to grub.
But like, I guess that also makes sense because Galactus just eats planets. So yeah, like, I guess they have a thing for eating.
So he just makes stuff. Is he a Celestial, technically?
He is, yeah.
Okay.
So Icarus and Athena go to get Cersei to help out with this Celestial issue. And even though Cersei doesn't know everything that's going on, she ends up going with them. And then when the other two Eternals, Xeros and Ajak, try to find those three, like, they just miss them. And so they're like, well, I guess we could go find Druig. So they go find Druig to ask for help. And they make a deal that Druig can keep his new nation, I guess, after all this is done.
They're not going to fuck with him.
Yeah. And but, like, we don't know why Druig makes this new nation in this trade.
He just likes having a country or whatever.
It's basically just like a Doctor Doom, but for Eternals, because he's got this whole nation now.
Right.
But anyway, the Deviants are successful in using Mark as the key to open, like, the ground above them. And the Celestial is going to wake up as soon as it's sunrise. And that's how that issue ends.
Hank Pym also detected that there's, like, some sort of seismic pulses in the Earth.
Yeah, it gets the attention of the Avengers as well. But I like how funny it is just thinking that, like, the dreaming Celestial could not be bothered enough to wake up in, like, the middle of the night. Like, he has to wait until morning in order to wake up.
Yeah. He just put the fucking snooze button on.
Yeah, he's like,
ah, a couple more hours.
Give me up in the morning, you know? Because, like, the whole ground...
Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee.
The whole ground, like, breaks and it reveals this big Celestial, but he's still just, like, sleeping.
So yeah.
It's just kind of funny. Yeah, don't talk to me until I had my coffee. Like, what is the Celestial alarm like, you know? Is that just like an earthquake?
You know those like Christopher Nolan trailers where it's like the
or whatever? Just like that, yeah.
Like and then just more and more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that.
Yep. So issue 6, we have Icarus, Athena, and Cersei. They go to San Francisco and they see the Eternal. But
he's like as big as the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. But they're unable to affect it because that's like the rule. But they do manage to stop the two Deviants at least. But, you know, people all over the world that are sleeping are starting to, like, say these weird phrases because the dreaming Celestial is, like, affecting them.
Yeah, they're all, like, connected on, like, some frequency or something.
Yeah. And they're all, like, talking the same phrases.
Yeah.
But all this catches the attention of Iron Man and the Avengers. And Iron Man flies in to check it out, like, what's going on. But the Eternals have to, like, protect the Celestial. So Athena, like, tackles Iron Man in the air. And Iron Man's like, don't you work for me? And she's like, yeah, I do. And then she like slams him down on the ground, which is pretty cool. But the Celestial like eventually wakes up.
And Icarus asks nicely to Hank Pym to just stand over there.
This is the funniest part to me.
Yeah.
Because
he's also got some sort of mind control thing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think they all do to some extent. Technically, okay. I think they all share the same powers. Just some of them specialize in a certain power.
Yeah. Because like Cersei is like a, what they call a changer or something.
Yeah.
Like she turned one of the Deviants into a tree.
Yeah.
And then Icarus just blasted through one of them with his like I-beams and shit.
But yeah, Hank Pym is there too as Yellow Jacket. And Icarus is like, listen, we're trying not to like wake this dude up. So if you could just like get really tall and block some sunlight, you might buy some time.
I'll admit JRJR draws a great Yellow Jacket. Like I just really liked his design.
Yeah, he does look really
good. I just thought he looked really
cool. Yeah, it's very appealing.
And when the Celestial is like waking up, they go to like a page where like it shows like the Watcher. And he just, like, could not watch.
Yeah,
he
was like, fuck, he looked man. Away. He was like, shit, man, I can't even look.
And even Galactus was scared.
Galactus, yeah, he's doing whatever he's doing. He's like, oh, shit, I feel that he's in like, the universe.
Yeah, I know.
My boy's up. You know, there's a concept that I really like in here, but they don't really act on it too much. Maybe they do in later issues. But Thena has a kid, and she brings the kid to go, like, help out with the Eternals. And I think that that would have been really cool if, you know, since there's not really like any stakes for all these Celestials since they base or the Eternals, since they basically just like respawn. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been cool if like Thena's kid was in danger. So that there's like some shit could like actually go wrong, you know?
Yeah. Deviants like had him for like a second, but that was about it.
Well, no, like Thena's kid, Joey or whatever it is. Like he just kind of like is there, but he stays on like the ship. So it's just like, I wish that there was like some stakes that way, but he's not really like used at all. But maybe it is in later issues. This is only the first trade.
No, this is it. This is it.
No, there's more, I'm pretty sure.
I like looked it up because I was like, because just like the way it ends, you know, I'm like, oh, there's more, but there isn't.
Mm. I think there is a story that picks up from here though.
Maybe.
Because I looked up something on the Eternals Wikipedia and it has this story, but there's more on like from here. There's more story. There's more like druid stuff and things like that.
Well, yeah, but as far as this like run with this creative team, I think this is it.
Mm, interesting.
We'll look into it.
Yeah, we will.
Anyway.
So the rest of the Eternals, Zuras, Druig, and Ajax show up and they're like, what do we do now? Like he's awake. So they decide to just try and talk to it by forming Unimind again. And then they want to use like Ajax, you know, specialties to try and talk to the Celestial, but the Celestial like immediately denies it, and then they break the Unimind apart.
He just like turns him off.
Yeah, he does. He's like
nope,
talk to the hand, you know. And but we do see Mark Curry, who's in like, sorry, Makari, who's in like a weird dream state though, and he's talking to the Celestial, and we find out that this Celestial is like the actual one, like he actually created Makari. So that's probably one of the reasons why he created him. But he basically uses Makari as his spokesman to tell everyone about the horde that's coming, because now this like Celestial is awake.
It's like some telepathic conversation.
Yeah, but he also tells Makari that, you know, he's going to decide the fate of the world after just like judging it for a bit. He's just going to check it out, see what it's like, and then he'll just judge the world.
Yeah, he said when the last shadow falls, and I'm like, so nighttime?
Yeah, like tonight?
But I looked it up, and apparently he's going to like stand there for like 50 years.
Yeah, he's going to just like chill there for a bit and just check it out, you know, check the landscape a bit. But he also tells Makari that like they have to leave him alone, you know.
Yeah, they said that time. Like they kept saying like hordes would be coming like if he woke up.
Yeah, the deviants.
I thought it meant he calls them locusts, but I thought that meant like more Celestials were coming.
No, I don't think so.
So I just got that mixed up.
There's a part in this conversation that I really enjoy because like Makari asks like why he's doing what he's doing, and the Celestial basically just says it's so high concept that like you won't even be able to understand.
It's beyond like human understanding.
And then he's like, imagine trying to explain democracy to a bacteria. And I was like, oof, damn, that's kind of a sick diss. Like, you are so dumb, you're basically a bacteria to me.
Yeah, boom, burn.
Yeah, boom, roasted. So Makari comes out and he's like, yeah, he's just going to chill here for a bit. And then Iron Man hears all that, and he tries to, like, get the Eternals to register. But Zuras is like, listen, we're above all this shit. So just, like, we won't disturb you, and we'll be cool.
Yeah.
And that's how that issue ends.
Like, basically, we'll, like, protect and rebuild and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly. But I like seeing Iron Man clearly, like, in over his head with all of this.
Yeah.
Because he tries to
just attack the Celestial.
And then he can't. And then once he figures out he can't, he tries to get the Eternals to register, and then he can't. So he's just like,
I'll just leave then.
Well, then just don't bother us then. And they're like, fair.
Like, we didn't even before this.
Yeah, exactly. How do you feel about Tony Stark's facial hair in this design?
Hold on. Is it in the next issue?
It is in the next issue. Page 185 specifically is a good one.
What, like a thin goatee?
Yeah, he's got like a thin pencil goatee.
Mm-hmm. Why, do you have words about it?
I don't know. I think it's a little weak.
Yeah, it's definitely not his strongest facial hair.
Yeah.
It's no Robert Downey Jr. beard or anything like that.
Yeah, I think I need a little bit thicker and like some fun designs. I don't know about like full-on bushy goatee, but
if he was like clean shaven, I'd still think it's Tony Stark, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He kind of just has that look. So last issue 7, Earth just kind of is okay with the fact that there's a giant celestial that's just posted up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it's been weeks now at this point. There's like tourists that are coming in.
This thing's like a mile tall. Like,
yeah.
A mile high.
I think they say he's like a mile and a half tall or something like that. And so he's just like standing there and tourists are coming in and they're like, look at that big guy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But the Eternals go back to Olympia in Antarctica, where they meet the second horde of deviants led by a deviant named Kraw. And there's a whole bunch of shit that happens, but Druig essentially starts to fight them in like the thousands until Makari puts a stop to it. And then the deviants call Makari Scadratch, and they end up respecting him in the end because he was selected by the Dreaming Celestial to like do things, and they view that Celestial as a god, so they all leave.
Oh, I thought it was like he's not in his right mind in order to fight because he's controlled by the Celestial. That's how I picked it up. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because all these deviants come and then Skraw is like, let's fight. And then they're like, no. And then Druig is like, I'll just start burning them. And then Makari puts to a stop. And then Skraw's like, I'll fight you. And Makari's like, okay. And Skraw doesn't land a hit. But it's just like, it's such a weird situation because like, who the fuck is Kraw? You know, I can accept that he's like the leader or whatever, but why would he bring like thousands of people just to like 1v1 an Eternal, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems weird.
Yeah.
And then also like, what a weird finale fight for like this trade. Like you'd think there'd be a bunch of big splash pages and stuff, but it ends up, they just work it out.
Looking back, I guess like I knew there were 7 issues, so I was like mentally prepared to read 7 issues.
Yeah.
But this last one's kind of pointless.
Yeah, like there,
it doesn't,
it seems
add
like
anything to
there's
it.
A lot of build up to no real end fight. It just like, well, that happened.
Yeah, know? Like there's no fight with the Celestial, and then
there's no
as
fight
far
with
as
these...
I know, this is the end of the series, like
yeah.
The run.
It's just like we get like 2 pages of Druig trying to like flame him and then that gets stopped. And then it's just like they all leave and they're like just all cool with what's going on now.
Yeah, there's a couple things. I guess the Eternals like classify themselves as, they are higher than Homo sapiens, but they called it Homo Immortalis.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Because Homo Superior is X-Men.
Right.
So
this is even higher.
These are higher homos.
Yeah, higher homos.
And then like just like some wrap-up stuff, but Zur-As eventually finds Sprite on like a train, and he kills Sprite. He like breaks his neck for his actions against the Eternals because he caused all this.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And then
because he like didn't want to turn him back into
an immortal,
an Eternal, because he couldn't trust him.
Exactly.
And so he like just gives him a hug and like snaps his neck. And when it's like this big dude snapping a kid's neck, I'm like, oh fuck.
I know. And I was like,
I heard it crack. I'm like, what happened?
I like wasn't expecting it, but like, and like I get it, you know, in the context of the story. And it seems like Sprite knows what's coming too. As soon as he sees like Zur-As, he's like, well, I wanted this, like I wanted to be mortal, but you know, I feel like it would be more effective to just have him live out his life. Like, that's got to be the biggest punishment of all.
Well, that's, like, what he wanted.
Well, yeah, but,
and
like...
And he's going to die in, like,
what if he
years.
Just found out? It's, like, you know, not all really seems like...
I think, like, probably, like, in his 30s or whatever, he'd be like, I want to be immortal again, but
he'd
be can't
like,
be.
Hey, Zur-As, can you come back and snap my neck now?
Yeah, like, I'm fucking done with this.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, it's just weird. And then the other Eternals start their quest of finding and restoring the memories of the other Eternals who don't know that they're Eternals. And that's
yeah, because there's still like 90 out there or something like that.
There's like 100 total.
Yeah.
But we mainly only focus on these.
I guess the meeting with Tony Stark and Cersei, like Tony Stark wanted to have her back on the Avengers.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said that.
There's like foreshadowing there as well, which is why I think it like
have you
continues.
Ever seen Cersei in the Avengers?
No, never.
Okay.
Maybe like in Jack Kirby days, but.
Right. So yeah, and then Icarus and Makari had to go look for the other ones because Zur-As said so.
Yeah.
And That's it. Like, it just wraps up.
Yeah. So
they have like a Flash and like Superman rivalry with like how fast they are.
Yeah, the Shimmer Kari's, which is nice.
The way?
They have a race.
Yep, they have a race. And then the beginning, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. So we'll get into some back matter matters.
Indeed.
Back matter matters.
So we got some JRJR covers.
Yep.
He's really good at making clunky looking dudes look pretty fluid. You know, I don't know how he does it, but he's very like a Jack Kirby-esque kind of artist.
Maybe that's like sure. What his inspiration is, and he just kind of sticks with that.
Yeah. Because like some of these like running poses or like just normal poses, they seem like something that like Jack Kirby would do. So I don't know. But yeah, we get a, like an individual like character cover for each of the Eternals. So those are pretty cool. And then these are all variant covers. And then there's one other variant artist, which is Oliver Coipel.
That
one looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And so, a bit of...
So those are the alternate like covers. There is an interview with Neil Gaiman that happened before like the Eternal series like number one came out.
Okay.
So he's just like talking about the Eternals and like what it means to him. And he's talking about Jack Kirby's like weird journey going like kind of like a little bit crazy after New Gods. And like there's some really interesting things that happen with Kirby, I feel like, ever since like doing like the Fantastic Four and then having like a feud with like Stan Lee for a while and then going to DC and like making the New Gods, and like he can like stretch his legs a little bit. Like, I don't know, there's like a lot of really interesting things with Jack Kirby, I feel like.
Is there any documentaries on him?
I think so. There might be. I know that there's like a Jack Kirby museum opening somewhere.
Oh, that's sick.
Which would be really fun to go to, I feel like.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So yeah, this interview is kind of interesting because he talks about that a little bit and then talks about kind of what his goals were.
There's a Jack Kirby documentary called Storyteller.
Does it seem like a high budget-ish one, or is it like a... Does it seem like a YouTube video essay?
It's on YouTube, but it's like an hour long.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'll take a look at that.
There's one called Kirby at War that's on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That actually came out like 4 years ago. So, and the Storyteller one came out in 2007.
Okay. Interesting.
So, those might be cool to check out.
Jack Kirby has like a grandson or something who's on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
I follow him. And he like posts these like random like... original panels. Jack Kirby like sketches.
Oh fuck.
Like
dude.
Unused characters and stuff like that, like all the time. It is super interesting.
Sorry, I was drinking a can when you said that.
Yeah, and
that's fucking crazy. Can like, you imagine?
He just has that.
And it's just yeah.
And he's the one of like the Kirby family that recognizes how insane that is.
And it's just a character that he probably even had like stories for.
Yeah. Or like he'll just like post like, yeah, he sketched this one time, or like here's a picture of him in like the army.
He probably didn't even like understand like how influential he was at the time.
No.
That if he just like made stories for all these things, they'd all be things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because like it seems like all these are still, you know, in rotation for publishers and getting in there with the movies and stuff like that. I'm sure
there's a couple like tentpole ones for sure, like New Gods and Mr. Miracle or the Eternals. But yeah, that seems like most of the ones that he makes, they were like original at the time, and so they get picked up. Also, part of the back matter there is character sketches. But what I really like about this is that they put Jack Kirby's like original design in like the corner.
Yeah,
so you get to compare like Jack Kirby's design to JRJR's interpretation of it, and I think that's a really cool idea.
Or like his redesign, you know?
Yeah, his redesign.
So they're normally like,
they're pretty similar, but they change like little aspects. You know, for the most part, Icarus is the same, but for Druig, he doesn't wear like a big ridiculous helmet, but it keeps like the same design aspects.
Druig kind of has like a Magneto looking look.
He's got a Sinestro looking face.
Yeah,
to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's got the pointy beard.
There is the design for Ajax, and when he's suited up, he looks fucking crazy. So I can see why, for the most part, he's not suited up.
It's like a fish helmet.
Yeah.
It's got, like, fins on it with, like, the Thor arms.
It's
like kind of
dope.
Ones. And then he also has, like, kind of a watcher kind of, like, skirt thing. Or what do you call that? A tunic?
Yeah.
He looks kind of cool.
He does look...
I would love to, like, I would get like a Jack Kirby like giant ass trade or something like that just to like look at it.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't read it.
I'm sure that there's like a Jack Kirby art book with some interesting history.
Yeah, it's a better idea.
Yeah. Macari is the next one, or Mark Curry. But yeah, for the most part, like his design stayed, I think, pretty much the same between his and JRJR's. He's just like, he's like less of like a powerful red, I guess, in the coloring, but
yeah, he doesn't have so much of like the helmet that's on here. He seems like he normally just has like his head out, but
by the end when he's like actually Macari, he's doing stuff, he has the helmet on.
Okay. Yeah, it looks kind of clunky.
I think Cersei is probably the best redesign because
yeah, it was just kind of like this like little
Jack Kirby didn't put a whole
thing.
He didn't put a whole lot of effort into this one, it seems.
Yeah, it's just kind of shiny.
I think the addition
looking
of bangs to this story is definitely a good move.
Yeah, it looks good.
Cuz the hair in the Jack Kirby one looks pretty out there.
Yeah, it's very of its time. Like that's, yeah, you wouldn't see this hairstyle now.
Exactly. And then we got Thena. She looks pretty cool too.
I like Thena's redesign.
Yeah.
She kind of looks more like a
Amazonian
for sure.
Yeah.
But
she got a spear in this one. I don't know if she does normally. Zuras, who looks like a fucking ape or something.
Oh, yeah.
In the Jack Kirby design. And in the new one, he's just kind of like a big Odin-looking dude, which I think works pretty well.
Yeah, dude. He looks like Beast if he's like red.
Yeah,
had, like,
exactly.
Red hair.
And then Sprite, who, I mean, pretty good.
He just kind of looks like Loki in the old one without the horns.
Yeah, true.
With the green and yellow.
Yep.
But and Sprite didn't ever get suited up.
And then we also have some pencils that are pretty fire, though. Like, it's all, like, the good ones that show, like, his crazy sense of scale.
Yeah, all the big celestial stuff.
Yeah, and that, like, page that you mentioned where all the animals are running away, but the celestials are in the background.
Yeah.
That first double page splash where you just kind of see how huge they are. There's a really interesting pencil page here that shows, like, the celestials in the beginning, but, like, when Icarus is trying to explain the history, and he's explaining that like the Celestials come and they try and like wipe out the Deviants.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that pencil page, but in the background there's a Celestial actually eating them.
Yeah,
and Neil Gaiman like loved this page, but he didn't want to spoil that the Celestials were actually eating the Deviants. He just wanted it to seem like they were just helping out. So he had him change that page ever so slightly, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, some more pencils. And then there's Neil Gaiman's like actual proposal for the series and like basically what's going to go on. So he just pitched it to Marvel that like none of them know who they are for these mysterious reasons and the outlines was going to go on in the series. And there is, I think, I didn't read this last part, but it's like a couple paragraphs. And I think it's explaining more like of Jack Kirby's involvement with the Eternals. So that's probably cool to look at as well.
Yeah, it's by Robert Greenberger. So I think it's just kind of a bit of history on the Eternals and how they came to be.
Yeah, which I think I'm going to read into because I'm just interested in Jack Kirby a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
With this series specifically. So good stuff. You know, I think for the most part, if I were to rate it, I would say I like it.
Yeah.
If you're looking for Eternals, I think this is a good one to actually get because I have a good idea of what they're about now, I feel like.
Yeah, because...
And it's like a smooth read.
It explains it really well. Yeah.
Yeah, smooth read. You know, it's in like modern continuity with like Civil War and everything, so the setting is kind of nice. But I don't think it's anything like, you know, I don't know if it like necessarily sticks the landing for the end of this trade for me, but, you know, I got what I wanted out of this, which is like a better understanding of the Eternals in an interesting way.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd necessarily like look back on this, be like, oh, that shit was good. I don't think I'll ever reread it, you know, unless
exactly.
I was just to look at the...
To brush up?
Yeah, to brush up. I'd say, yeah, I was like, I like it, but with like a lot of good toppings, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe just like a...
This was like
vanilla ice cream though, but with like all the good toppings, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Reese's Pieces, M&M's,
yeah.
Sprinkles, fudge.
It's a... Yeah, I like it from Cold Stone, and I'm going in because I want to treat myself, and
yeah.
But I don't want to go too crazy, you know?
Of course.
So I get the medium size, but, you know, getting the toppings on there to just, like, because it's a classic, you know?
Of course.
You got to do that. So that's what I rate it.
Yeah, I agree.
And so with that, I think we go into the pull list, Colin.
Shove it in your box.
That's right.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you pick up this week, Daniel?
We got the Unbelievable Unteens number 4.
I need to download that. I didn't actually see that.
Have you even like started?
Yeah, I read the first issue.
Okay. What'd you think?
That's great. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
It's like campy, but it's supposed to be like in a fun way, you know?
Did we talk about this already?
We did.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I love that book. Anyway, we got High Republic number 11. We got Maze Book number 3.
Have you started those?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
I'm on number like 5, maybe.
Good, good.
I saw Maze Book number 3. Someone was standing in front of it, and I forgot to get it.
Ah, shoot.
If it's $5.99, I don't know if I can do it.
Did you read 1 or 2?
I read 1.
Okay. I still haven't read number 2, but I have it, and I think I'm going to go with it. So.
And then Sea of Stars 11 came out. I feel like I should catch up on that before picking up 11. You know, because like I just keep buying it. I only read like 3 issues.
Yeah, I dropped off of that one.
And then did New Burn come out this week, or was that last week?
That was last week.
What's the Furthest Place of Here come out this week?
Yes.
Okay, I got that too.
Yep, I got What's the Furthest Place from Here. Super excited about that. DC came out with Robin and Batman by Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Which is like an origin of Robin, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
And then What's the Furthest Place from Here? I haven't actually gone on the shop. I meant to go today, but I haven't yet. But yeah, I'll get Maze Book number 3 as well.
I went with Allie, Sarah's maid of honor, because she's just been staying with us. And she's never been to a comic shop.
So you're like, you're coming with me.
You're coming with me.
What'd she think?
She's like, there's a lot of stuff. I'm like, sure is.
It's a little overwhelming, I'm sure. Especially on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And more books.
And especially like when you don't know what any of it is, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like some stuff that she recognized as far as like characters and whatnot.
Sure.
What'd you call it? Robin and Batman?
Robin and Batman, yeah. It's like a Robin-centered story, to my understanding.
Cool. Anyway, but yeah, she said there's a lot of stuff. And she's like flipping through like some trades that were like new,
right,
and stuff like that. And I feel like she almost bought something. I'm like, do you want anything? Because I was like checking out, and she was like, she like hesitated, you know.
Oh, good.
She almost picked up one of those weird shaped like indie comics, you know.
Oh, cool.
And so, but she didn't.
Damn.
She can always.
You failed.
She can always borrow one of these.
Yeah, true. We got enough here, enough to recommend.
Yep. And I think that's all I got.
Nice.
I got stuff from last week because I never end up going. But
did you read this week outside of Eternals?
Sure did.
What'd you read?
I read What's the Furthest Place from Here.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Did you read it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, pretty good.
Did you? Oh. Is it?
Yeah, I like it.
What cover did you get?
Just the...
The main one?
The main one.
Yeah. I want to see what variant covers there have.
I was looking for that Bendis one that he mentioned.
Yeah.
But I don't know what was his. I don't know his art style or anything like that. And I didn't see any signatures.
It's a little Oming-esque, but Oming definitely does it better.
Sure, sure. So I just went with like the OG one.
Sure.
Which I tend to like.
There's a Scotty Young one that I might get if I don't see the Bendis one.
Is this Scotty Young one?
Yeah, but it's not in like his like baby style. It's like his sort of more punk rock looking style.
Okay.
Like when he puts on his Instagram kind of deal.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got a great Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. One of the best.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that was a banger first issue. A lot of questions, not enough answers.
Good.
Great artwork, of course. Coloring was good, too.
Nice. Fan.
And then I was able to like flex, like, oh, we just interviewed this guy.
Yeah,
like,
last week.
Anyway, and then I also read New Burn number 1.
What'd you think?
Banger first issue. Did you read it?
I haven't.
It's good. Like,
there's a lot of things I picked up last week that I'm very excited to read. I just haven't yet.
Yeah.
And like,
it was easy to just start reading number ones, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So like, it got across like what this book is and like who New Burn is and what it's all going to like be about.
Who Mr. New Burn is.
Who Mr. New Burn is. And it was just, it felt like it could be like a one shot almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how like fulfilling like the first issue was. And so, yeah, really looking forward to it. He does great with like the crime shit or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it. It like does.
Jacob Phillips or?
Jacob Phillips art was great, but like Zdarsky's like writing.
Yeah.
Like really well done.
Yeah. I knew that he was going to be good at it because he does great with Daredevil. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I read the All-Nighters, speaking of Chip Zdarsky. I only read the first issue.
Finally.
I know. But it's, I didn't expect that it was going to be backwards.
What do you mean?
Like, you read it, like, not...
I think you fucked it up.
No. I didn't. Like, on Comixology, I read, like, a page at a time, and I tried to swipe right, but you can only swipe from the left. So it's like anime, but you still read from left to right.
You sure?
I'm going to pull it up again, but I'm almost positive, because I was like, why is it this way?
Are you trying to hide the fact that you're reading manga, Nathan?
No, I'm not. So look, the all-nighter, that's the first page.
Yeah.
If I swipe right, there's nothing.
Uh-huh.
This is page 2. This is page 3.
Go to the guided view.
So guided view, nothing.
Oh, why didn't I notice that?
And if you swipe right, it just takes you like backwards. So it's strange. And it like gave me a message saying this shit's backwards. So you got to do it backwards.
Yeah, they do that with manga.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just wasn't expecting that. I'm fine with it. I just don't know why. So it's very interesting.
How did I read that? Yeah, I read it on my phone, I think. So yeah. I feel like I would have noticed that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange.
I've just been reading so much manga, Nathan, that I'm just so used to both styles.
I guess so. You're like ambidextrous.
Yeah, it's like using my left hand when I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
No problem for me. Did you read anything else?
No.
Did you watch anything?
I did.
What did you watch, Nathan?
I did a couple things across many mediums.
Okay.
I finished It Takes Two, finally, with Sophia. It's that one where you're...
You're like a toy or something?
You're divorced parents, but you get turned into dolls, and you're trying to not be dolls anymore, and then you love each other some more. And I finally finished that. It's like a long game. Like, I wasn't like, oh my god, like, we need to finish this, you know, kind of deal. But, like, there's just a lot of content, and they constantly, like, switch up how it's played, and it's very entertaining and a good story. So, I enjoyed it a lot.
Sick.
So, I finally got rid of that, and then we started playing Army of Two. Like the original one.
Oh, yeah.
And that shit is so fun still.
Oh, yeah.
It totally... That shit was sick. Like, the graphics or whatever don't hold up, because they're, like, very clunky-looking dudes.
Yeah.
But the gameplay is... It holds up for me.
I just remember...
It might be nostalgia, but she was... So, Sophia had played that before with her sister, and so she was familiar with it, and she's like, we should play it. And then I found out that she played the sequel, not the original.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know if I liked that one as much. But we're playing the first one, and we'll probably end up playing the second one after this.
I just remember, like, you crouching behind, like, crates and stuff all the time.
Yeah. But, like, if they do things in that game, like, the system with, like, aggro, and, like, you can swap weapons with each other super easily and fluidly, and, like, you can partner with your other person to like snipe things, and there's like a countdown mechanism.
Uh-huh.
So like if you're trying to take out two guys at once that are unsuspecting without alerting anybody,
yeah,
there's like a mechanic in game to like do a countdown and everything,
right?
So it's like all these things that are like pretty cool I haven't seen again. So
yeah, you have to like work together in that game.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your relationship has gotten stronger because of it?
Yeah. And we go back to back all the time now, just in normal life.
We're at the grocery store and stuff.
Yeah. We're at the grocery store.
In your tiny ass kitchen. You just go back to back.
Yeah. We go back to back. You do the dishes, I'll cook.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Because your stove's on the other side of your sink.
Exactly.
Hilarious.
So that game's super fun.
Nice. Nice.
And then I also played a little bit more of Back 4 Blood, which is like the Left 4 Dead kind of sequel, spiritual sequel, not like officially, but
sure.
It's that game is awesome as well. It definitely scratches that itch of like a crazy 4-player zombie game that gets hectic really quick and you just like aren't prepared for it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I keep seeing like the trailer for the new Call of Duty and like the new zombies, and it looks fucking crazy.
Mm.
And I like have like a little bit of nostalgia for like Nazi zombies, but like I just know how fucking crazy it gets,
yeah,
like so fast.
Yeah.
And like the first one got kind of boring, like that where it was like on what was like Macon or something like that.
On what?
Call of Duty. You remember like in
the
Call
very
of Duty
first
World
one?
At War? Yeah, the very first one was just that house or whatever.
Yeah.
Things were simple.
Yeah.
But then it also just got like boring.
Yeah.
And then the second one, it just got kind of crazy.
You know what I mean? It did.
And then they just keep getting crazier to be like,
yeah, the Black Ops zombies is, yeah, some of the most fun I've ever had in video games, for sure.
And then it just keeps getting, like, no, is it in, I think the first one was at World at War.
Yeah, it was, but, like, the second game to have them,
yeah,
which I'm pretty sure was Black Ops, that was, like, some of the most fun I've ever had, like, playing video games.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good shit. So, I mean, if you get it, or if someone I know gets it, I just want to try for like one round, die in like the second round maybe, and then just call it a day. Because they have like the dogs and like the...
And they keep
upgrading
adding
the guns and shit.
Yeah, and they keep adding stuff to it. And so like the last game I played it, which I think was Black Ops 4.
There's a fourth one?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So when they had zombies there, I was like, this is too much. I felt like...
They have like all these... ways you can get to from building to building. And like,
the first time I thought it was too much, I think it was Black Ops 3, I want to say, but it was like an icy map. Uh-huh. And like there's a mechanic where if you are like standing in like a puddle of water, you start to like freeze and you go slower, and there's things like that. And there's a guy that's like walking around that you can't kill, and he's so it causes you to like keep moving around.
Yeah.
But there's also like things that can like launch you across the map and stuff. So at that point I was like, this is a bit much, but I think that they've toned it back down a little bit with this new zombies, it seems like.
Oh, okay.
So,
because like
it looks good is what I'm trying to say.
The upgrading the guns and stuff, that was cool, like making them all like futuristic or whatever.
Yeah, but I heard that just like everything else with that Call of Duty is just brainless, like the multiplayer and everything just doesn't...
Oh yeah,
it isn't doing it for people, so I don't know. Probably not gonna get it
for sure.
Oh, and then I played more of the Guardians of the Galaxy game. I'm like well into it now.
For sure.
And it's awesome. Like, I really enjoyed it a lot, because just like the book this week, they like really ease you into it.
Okay.
So that you can really understand like the complexities of it.
Yeah.
And how you can use your team in like certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, during like a big fight where there's like a bunch of people, everybody's fighting at the same time, but each character, Drax, Rocket, Groot, and Gamora, they have like four different abilities that they can do each individually. So it's like 16 things that you can do out in the field with just your people. And then Star-Lord has other things that he can do as far as like special abilities or attacks. So they do a really good job of like leaning you into it. And when you do a big fight and you use everybody effectively, it just feels super satisfying.
Okay.
And then there's like actually hard decisions that you have to make as a leader, like as Star-Lord.
Okay.
And
I like that, because it's not just like a clear... like answer or whatever.
Yeah, like you have to take sides, and like you have to piss off Drax in order to like get on Rocket's good side, or you have to like, you know, you have to up the morale or risk seeming like an idiot, you know,
for
like a decision that you make. So there's a part, and it's in the very beginning, so it's not much of a spoiler.
Okay.
But you get arrested by the Nova Corps, and you are fined like 8,000 credits, and so you're given like 3 days to pay this fine. And we don't have any money as the Guardians. And so they decide that they want to go to this planet and sell... Groot offers to sell himself as a monster to this person to get 8,000 credits so that they can pay it off. And then they want to break him out after. But Rocket's like, we're not going to do that. I'll sell myself, and then you guys can break me out after. And then you have to choose... do you sell Groot or do you sell Rocket? Because both of them offered.
Probably Rocket.
But then, like, but the thing with Rocket was that he may not be, like, an attractive enough, like, monster to give up. Because he's just, like, this little dude. And Groot, you don't want him to get hurt or anything in the situation. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Gamora and Drax both voted, like, a different person. So you're, like, the swing vote in that situation.
Oh.
So it's, like, they put you in, like, really good situations.
What'd you do?
I wanted to do Groot, and I was like, because I knew it was going to work. Like, I didn't want to deal with the fact that, like, Rocket wasn't good enough and we wouldn't get 8,000 credits. So I was like, we'll do Groot. I promise, Groot, I'll be right back for you. And so, yeah, so it's like, it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would, which is cool.
Yeah, that's good. I watched Aquaman, King of Atlantis.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, I just watched the first episode, but... the animation on that is excellent.
Really?
Like, it's so fucking funny. Like, some of the animations, like, it's very, like, Adventure Time, like, regular show-esque.
Nice.
Which is kind of, like, what you want.
Yeah.
Like...
I wanted to watch that this week. I might watch it when I get back home.
Yeah, definitely do it. And Mira is, like, awesome in it. Like, she's so funny.
That's sick.
And she's just, like, she just, like, talks more.
Is it, like, cute?
It's, like, funny? A cute thing. Yeah. There's
I love that. I don't know how this project came to be, but I'm happy that it exists.
I'm so happy. It should be on like Cartoon Network, because it would fit in like so well. You know what I mean? It's got like that kind of vibe.
Exactly.
They're kind of going for more like the comedy aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
which I like really appreciate.
That's cool.
There's like some store in there, and they called it Best Buoy, like or Best Buoy.
That's sick.
That just made me chuckle. And then there was like a Namor reference in there.
Really?
I can't remember what he said. They were in like a hole or something. He's like, can't you just fly us out of here? He's like, what, with little wings on my ankles? And I was like, ah!
That's Namor.
Decut.
That's awesome.
And there's this one scene that was kind of funny where like they're on like land or something, or there's no water in this part of the ocean. And Mira needed like some water to like attack somebody. And she just like sucks the water out of like Aquaman's like eyes and face and shit. And like the saliva from his mouth.
Ew.
And the way it looks, he like feels like a life's being drained from him. It's so fucking funny.
Dude, that sounds awesome. I'm totally going to watch it.
You'll like love it. We could watch it together. It'd be so funny. It's a great show. I can't wait to finish it. Highly recommend so far.
How long was it? It was like three parts.
So it's three parts, and each one were like 45 minutes. So it's basically like a movie watch them back to back. But yeah, really happy with this. I hope there's more, even if it's not like Aquaman.
That's dope.
Or more Aquaman, sure.
Interesting.
But yeah, very good.
That reminds me, I also watched a new Netflix series called Arcane.
And
it's based in like the League of Legends universe.
Okay.
And I'm not a big fan of like League of Legends, but Sophia is.
It's
so
like
she really wanted to like watch it.
Like it's like legally it is?
Legally. Like League of Legends.
Made a show.
Show. It says League of Legends like under like Netflix, basically. When you hit on the show.
Interesting.
And League of Legends has been very notorious for having like really interesting backstory for their characters. And they show that in like these little mini like animations with each season. So, but normally they're only like a couple minutes, like 2 or 3 minutes. But this is like 10 episodes that are like 45 minutes long of that same like premium animation.
Oh.
It's like gorgeous animation.
Okay.
And it's like an origin story for a couple of the characters.
Sick.
In there. So, it's pretty interesting. I don't know who like the characters are, but I'm still kind of having a good time watching it. And Sophie's kind of like explaining things to me at the same time. Like, they're not necessary to know, but she's like, oh, so that's Jinx, you know? And things like that. I would love it if they did the same thing for Valorant, because the same company that makes League of Legends makes Valorant.
Maybe someday. Would you say that Valorant's on the same level of popularity as like League of Legends was at its peak?
Not yet, but it pulls in some numbers. There are times like, I guess my gauge is just like seeing like Twitch numbers.
Yeah.
And so like you can see total viewership for a game.
Sure.
Like let's see what it is right now, I guess.
Was streaming even like big when League of Legends came out? We were in like high school.
They kind of happened at the same time, I feel like.
Okay.
The League of Legends tournaments are definitely much bigger. But League of Legends right now is at 85,000 viewers and Valorant's at like 90,000 viewers.
Okay.
So Valorant's just like a little bit bigger. But yeah, like I would watch like a Valorant thing like that as well. But it makes sense that they started with League of Legends because that's like their main thing. But it was pretty good. So I liked it.
Sick.
And that's it for
me.
That's
it. Same. What are we gonna read next week? So we got Hitmonkey next week, Nathan.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was like, what are we gonna read next week?
We're reading Hitmonkey. I'm pretty sure we have like the rest of the year planned out, honestly.
Yeah, probably. Hitmonkey.
So Hitmonkey is one word.
The hit TV show coming out on Hulu from Marvel.
Featuring Jason Sudeikis.
As Hitmonkey, or
he's like,
or Hitmonkey's boy,
Hitmonkey's like boy or something.
So, are we reading Bullets and Bananas?
So that one includes all the Hitmonkey that there is, right? There's one shot, and then three issues, and then there's also three Deadpool tie-in issues, which I think could be fun.
That would be kind of fun.
Because altogether, it's only like 168 pages.
Sure.
And then the other one is just the Hitmonkey self-titled or solo series.
Year of the
Monkey.
Which
is like 96 pages. You know what I mean? So I think we might as well get those extra pages in there with the tie-ins.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll do Hitmonkey by Daniel Way, Bullets and Bananas.
Excellent. Excellent title. And then Carlo Barberi.
Yeah. Interesting. I've read some Daniel Way stuff and he's pretty fun. He's got like a lot of energy in his writing, I feel like.
Yeah, I think the crossover was on his run of Deadpool.
Okay, cool.
So
I've read his Thunderbolts.
Oh, okay.
That one's pretty fun.
Yeah, I just know him from Deadpool, I think.
I think I know him from Thunderbolts. Let me click on him.
Let's click on this guy. I don't know where he's been. I guess he's working on Hitmonkey.
He did some Bullseye, it looks like. Deadpool which you said.
Oh, I guess he did some Cable, maybe?
He did Hit Girl and Hit Monkey.
Hit Girl. Oh, like the...
like the Mark Millar.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass one.
Okay.
Yeah, Thunderbolts. Okay. So I am right.
Good job, Nathan.
Cool, cool. And some Wolverine. Looks like he's done. Yeah, I'm totally down for Hit Monkey.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the show. I think the show will come out like the day we're recording the episode. So.
Okay.
Sick. I'm excited.
So that'll be next week. If you're excited for that, let us know. You can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com.
Tell us
what to read as well. Or you can reach out to us on Twitter at tradewaiterspod on Twitter. And I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter, NATHICC.
Dan Tividad on Twitter.
And then we're also on TikTok.
Indeed, at TradeWaiters.
At TradeWaiters. We be filming some TikToks.
Indeed.
We do a dance.
You wouldn't dance.
No, I said I wouldn't do a dance.
I'll dance. It's okay. Fine. I'll dance for the both of us.
You can see Daniel dance on TikTok.
Indeed.
At TradeWaiters. So that's the show for this week.
Indeed.
Peace out, y'all.